percent of the world's population. The combined GDP of the 8 member states is $23 trillion, or 24.2% of the global GDP. Acceptance of Iran as a full member of SCO will open up a new horizon of multilateralism. It will be beneficial not only for Iran, but for the whole region. Another massive agreement that Iran has signed is with Russia, the 20-year comprehensive partnership agreement. Tehran intends to increase its trade volume with Russia to $25 billion. In addition to its economic potential, Iran views the 20-year agreement as a way to solidify its security cooperation with Russia and secure new arms deals like the purchase of Russian-made Sukhoi 35 fighter jets. Iran has also shown interest in the Eurasian Economic Union, which has Russia as one of its founding members. This is an integrated single market of 184 million people and the gross domestic product of over $1.9 trillion, in which Iran has created a free trade zone between the Union. And finally, Iran has applied to another bloc that includes China and Russia, and that is the BRICS group of nations. BRICS is an important grouping bringing together the major emerging economies from the world, comprising of 41% of the world population, having 24% of the world GDP and over 16% share in the world trade. BRICS countries have been the main engines of global economic growth over the years. That does it for this Quick Take segment.
It was an in-depth section of this program, which did not leave much for saying after that presentation. The U.S. and its allies, but more so the U.S., is trying to disrupt the world order by targeting China and its Belt and Road Initiative. When 85% of the world lives in Africa, Asia, West Asia, and Latin America, but receives only 15% of the attention, and when China is trying to advance a project to help the needs of these countries, what's so wrong with that? And Iran is there to be the engine of growth by providing it with oil and gas for all these projects. That is how Iran's relationship with China can be defined. That does it for this edition of the program. Really enjoyed having you with us. From Mikhail Vitakvay and the team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to 173rd up to 175th verses of Chapter Shu'ara.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ.
And we rained upon them a rain of stones, and evil was the rain of those who were warned.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ.
And indeed, your Lord, He is the exalted in might, the merciful.
وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. We rained down on them a shower of brimstone, and evil is the rain of them that were warned. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily, in this there is a sign, but most of them do not believe. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily, your Lord, certainly He is the Mighty, the Merciful. So, as we said in the previous episodes, this is the result, this is the retribution of those who change the path of marriage into path of sodomy. This is the chastisement of the people who change the path of nature. These people were faced with the reign of divine mercy at first, but this reign was changed into a reign of chastisement. And this is what is annihilating them. فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. So, again, at the end of this event, we encounter the same couple of sentences that were mentioned at the end of the similar events in this surah concerning other five great prophets of Allah. The Holy Quran implies that there is a sign, there is an instructive lesson in the story of this unjust and indecent people that had a fatal and unsuspicious event. It says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً. Verily in this is a sign, وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. But most of them do not believe. And what a sign is more clear than this event, which makes you acquainted with some important and helpful issues. Without that, you need any personal experimentation. Yes, the history of the ancient is an instructive lesson and a sign for the upcoming generations. It is not something which can be experienced, because in experience, one must bear some lessons so that he obtains some results. But here, we obtain the results from the losses of the others. And this is the importance of this part of the surah.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So as the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَةِ, history has always got some instructive lessons for us. And the point is, وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, most of them did not believe. And the interesting point regarding the repetition of this very verse, even in the five previous cases of the stories of the Prophet, is that in education, one principle is repetition. You have to repeat sometimes over and over and over again in order for the others to understand, in order for the others to take lessons. Sometimes you have to admonish the others. And this verse has been repeated. This is the repetition principle, and this verse has been repeated. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. You have to consider history and the points and the signs it has. So the verse continues, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And verily your Lord, certainly He is the mighty, the merciful. And what a mercy can be better than this, that Allah does not immediately punish such polluted people. And He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives them enough respite to be guided, to review their situations. And also, what mercy is superior to this fact that His punishment does not involve both right-doers and wrongdoers? It is so that if there is a faithful family among 1,000 misguided families, He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, rescues these believers. What a glory and might is higher than this, that in a short moment, He destroys the dwellings of those polluted people so severely that there remains no effect for them. ثُمَّ دَمَّرْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. The land, which must be as a comfortable cradle for them, is commissioned for their death, and the enlivening rain is changed into a rain of fatal stones. فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. Your Lord, certainly He is the mighty, the merciful. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Shaykh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This may have been one of the most important subjects that we have discussed. How to awaken the heart. So if you have been paying attention, we've discussed quite a bit so far, right? And especially in yesterday's lecture, we talked about certain steps to awaken the eyes of the heart. And today I want to end this discussion by looking at some other very practical steps that you and I can take to awaken the heart so that it can be illuminated. And inshallah, through that illumination, we too can receive that communication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not possible for us not to get that. You know, Imam al-Rida alayhi afdalu salatu wa salam. Amma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. He says, inna samta babun min abwabil hikmah. He says that silence is one of the doors of wisdom. You know, we want wisdom from God. You know, wisdom is what? The ability not to do something that we later regret. Yeah, that's part of wisdom. Well, silence affords us that, right? Because a lot of the mistakes we make is because of the silly things that we say or message or think, and then we respond. Well, calm down. Silence allows us to stop that, right? And think of that. Now, obviously, when we talk about silence, it doesn't mean that when it comes to haq, we stay silent. It is in matters where it doesn't concern me. But if something really needs to be said, Amr bil Ma'ruf needs to be done, we don't stay silent at those times. This is the teachings that we have. So that's number one. Carve out some more times of silence in our lives. It will help illuminate our hearts. The second advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, He says, وَيَحْفَظْ قَلْبَهُ مِنَ الْوَسْوَاسِ. That one of the ways to revive the heart is to safeguard the heart from temptation, right? You know, we are all born with desires, right? We're all born like this. We're born covetous. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِكَ halua, right? Not halua, and not sweet like halua, yeah? Halua, yeah, with ayn. We are born covetous. Allah says, indeed, mankind is created covetous, desirous. This is why we all desire that $2 million, right? Because today a million doesn't get you a house anymore, right? So we got to jump to 2 million, right? We're all desiring things. We all think about things and we want things, and that becomes our passion. We're created this way. Why are we created this way? Because Allah wants that journey of coveting and desiring to reach Him. That we desire Allah, we covet Allah, and then we do whatever it is we can for Allah. But we just get distracted, right? And we never reach that final destination. But if we did focus on it, we would get there. And so Allah knows, right, that we are a desirous creation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be able to control those desires so that they do not become roadblocks in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We control the negativity and to get to God. And this is a point that I've touched upon multiple times, and forgive me for doing it again, yeah? That in life, right, there are multiple distractions that we cannot control. Multiple distractions, right? And I know I've said this, and I'm repeating, but I think it's important again for me to say, I can't control who I'm going to sit next to on a bus. I can't control who I'm going to sit next to on a plane. Yeah, I can't control who I'm going to sit next to in school. I can't control these things. These are enough distractions. We cannot add more distractions into our lives. We will not be successful, right? It's a fool's errand to think that I can tempt myself with everything and then still be successful. There haven't been many creations who have done that. The ones that have been fully successful are those who have eliminated distractions, right? And so you and I have to be very cognizant about that. When Allah says that protect your heart from temptations, He's talking about what we can practically do to avoid and limit temptations. If I know certain things are problematic for me, I try my darndest to stay away from those type of things, to avoid those type of things, to not watch those type of things, to not listen to those type of things. All of this is essential for us. And so it's up to us on how well we can control our temptations, because in life in general, we're not going to be able to control all temptations, right? You know, when we were young, there were times when we'd be like, oh, I hope someone pretty sits next to me on the plane, yeah? But now you get older, you're like, Ya Allah, please don't have somebody pretty come sit next to me on the plane, right? Because you know that this may be a distraction for me, right? And so these are the things that you and I, when we mature, when we grow up, we see that our du'as begin to change. Yeah? You see that our desires begin to change because we realize that these things are distractions for us in the journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's number two, right? Number two is I have to actively remove distractions from my life. And this is something we all have to participate in together. The third is, and the third point of that which can illuminate the heart is, again said in this hadith, about the benefits of being hungry. Yeah, the benefits of feeling hunger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, he says, Ya Rabbi, ma mirathul ju'. Yeah, he says, oh Allah, what is the benefits of hunger? And the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, replies that the benefits of hunger are many. He says, Al-Hikmah, wisdom comes from hunger. Wa-Hifzul Qalb, and the protection of the heart, yeah, comes from hunger. Wa-Taqarrubu Ilayya, and you will get closer to me with hunger. Wal-Huznu Da'im, and perpetual sadness. That's interesting, okay? What does that mean, perpetual sadness? This is not what we are talking about. We're talking about hifzul qalb, yeah? It will protect the heart. But I feel that this perpetual sadness can have multiple meanings, you know? Right? And so these three things I leave you with today as we end this discussion, right? That about how to awaken the heart. Is that number one, you know, we embrace silence and you got to figure out a way to carve out time for silence. Number two, fight off temptations by not adding any into your life. And number three, experience hunger from time to time. Okay? And these three things, if we practice it and we add on to that which we've talked about for the past six lectures, I think our hearts, inshallah, will be illuminated. We will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive that guidance from Him and be closer to the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Wa akhiru da'awan. أن الحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
رحيم كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور وليم.
محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
عليه in the limelight.
The Zionist regime forces have recently killed at least 10 Palestinians in the West Bank raid. The Palestinian Health Ministry reports at least 102 people were injured, including three journalists. Last year was the deadliest year in the West Bank since 2006, with 171 Palestinians, including 30 children, killed by Israeli regime forces. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truth Out wrote in this regard, a child and two elderly people were among at least 10 Palestinians who were killed recently by the Zionist regime military forces conducting a raid in the West Bank city of Nablus. The attack brings the number of Palestinians killed in the occupied territories by the Zionist regime forces to 61 since the beginning of the year 2023, a rate of more than one per day. The website of Middle East Eye reported. Three children have been killed, according to this website. The IDF drove dozens of armored vehicles into the Nablus city center at 10 a.m. and blocked off all entrances to the city as the Zionist regime forces surrounded a building where two members of the Lion's Den, a local Palestinian resistance group, were believed to be. The Zionist regime's military also fired tear gas, injuring a number of women and children who ambulances were blocked from reaching, an eyewitness named Nabila Soleiman told Middle East Eye. Soleiman was walking through a market with her daughter when the raid began, Soleiman told the website of Middle East Eye. It was very scary. We could hear the sounds of explosions and people screaming in the street, and many of us started crying and praying to God to protect the city and its residents. CCTV footage showed at least two unarmed men being shot as they ran away from the Zionist regime forces. Political analyst Omar Badar said, Nablus is a Palestinian city in the occupied land that Israel has no right to rule or operate in. This is murderous aggression, pure and simple. The Palestinian Health Ministry told Al Jazeera that at least 102 people were injured in the attack, including 82 who were hit by live ammunition and 6 who were in critical condition. Al Jazeera reported that 3 journalists were among the wounded. One morning, so much pain and death, said Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Abraham Gottman. At least 6 Palestinians killed by the Zionist regime forces in Nablus, including a 72-year-old man. Over 70 people were injured by bullets and tear gas. Al Jazeera reports that 3 of the wounded are journalists. One morning, so much pain and death. The deadly raid came less than a month after 10 Palestinians, including an elderly woman, were killed by an IDF attack on a refugee camp in the West Bank city of Jenin. The Palestinian resistance movement is growing in both cities. Palestinian journalist Mariam Barghouti told Al Jazeera. Officials announced a general strike in Nablus and Ramallah in response to the attack. We are hearing stories that Israeli regime forces were shooting at the neighbors, people in their houses, people going about their daily lives, reported Neda Ibrahim at Al Jazeera, adding, Palestinians say Israel is acting this way because it is not being held accountable and has a free hand in killing Palestinians. Last year was the deadliest year in the West Bank since 2006, with 171 Palestinians, including 30 children, killed by the Zionist regime forces. Meanwhile, Wafa News Agency reported, in light of the Zionist regime's recent military attacks, an escalation of widespread and systematic violations against the Palestinian people, 35 Palestinian civil society organizations sent a letter to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, ICC, Karim Khan, requesting him to expedite the investigation into the situation in Palestine and urgently issue a preventive statement to deter Israeli regime forces from committing more crimes against Palestinians. The letter comes following the Zionist regime occupying forces, IOF, vicious military attacks on Jenin, the Akbat Jabar refugee camps, and Nablus City, notably on January 26, February 6, and February 22, respectively, the high rise in the number of Palestinians killed, and the imposition of punitive measures. Alarmingly, since the beginning of this year, and as of the morning of February 23, 2023, the IOF and Zionist settlers killed 63 Palestinians throughout the occupied Palestinian territory. In addition to the dangerous escalation of violations against Palestinians at very high speed, the letter alarms the prosecutor to the Israeli regime authorities' policy of withholding Palestinian bodies and illegally transferring those injured to Israeli hospitals within the green line upon arresting them, which makes it difficult to conclusively assert the exact number of Palestinians killed by IOF and Zionist settlers, such as the case with the Zionist regime military attack against Akbat Jaber refugee camp on February 6th. The joint letter urges the prosecutor to take immediate and meaningful action as to permitted by his mandate under the Rome Statute to contribute to the deterrence and prevention of further deprivation of lives and commission of more crimes by the Zionist regime authorities, as well as to investigate and prosecute the crimes of inter alia, willful killing, crimes committed against children, the crimes against humanity of apartheid and persecution, and the war crime of civilian population transfer in. Specifically, the letter requests the prosecutor to issue a preventive statement as per the office of the prosecutor's previous practice, to crucially reflect and maintain the court's commitment to ending the cycle of impunity and delivering justice to Palestinian victims who have been suffering under the Zionist regime, settler colonial and apartheid regime.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program of Viewpoint, and I'm Beta, the host of today's episode. And we have two dear speaker guests here with me, Brother Ali and Brother Muhammad. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in this episode of today, we're going to discuss one of the most controversial issues of Islamic world about Palestinian issues. So, as you know, Palestine is one of the most valuable lands and regions in Islam thoughts and also other religions. So, in this episode, based on the leadership statements, we're going to discuss this issue.
She's standing on the rubble of her home. She cries out for her parents.
Since the Nakba in 1948, the Palestinians have been in a vicious cycle of exile, expulsion, relocation.
This training gives us the skills and expertise to help us pursue a successful career in the future and helps us in the day-to-day life.
The youth are the same, but the circumstances around them have changed. The harsh realities faced by the youth nowadays makes life harder for them compared to previous generations. With the current limitation, the youth have a hard time achieving their aspirations and dreams.
First of all, let's start with the history of this land and also the importance of this issue in Islamic world.
First is that Palestine itself is a Muslim country, and it was usurped by another group of, let's say, people, a group of nations, let's say, and with the access of UK. So they tried to appoint a part of the world and actually make a theory about it and to call it, let's say, the land of promised land, and make a, let's say, ideological background for this, and starting to transfer the Jews from different countries to this country. Second, it was one of the important Islamic centers because it was the first Qibla of the Muslims. So it is important for us because it is related to our Islamic beliefs. The Masjid al-Aqsa, which is one of the first Qibla of the Muslim, is located there. The third point that I can refer to is that there is a danger of improvement and progress of a fake country in the center and in the heart of the Islamic land.
Okay, got it. That as we all know, security is one of the most important issues in everybody's life. But as you know, this isn't kind of external thing that we are talking about. This is not about our own country. This is not about our own home. And even in our own country, we have many problems, countless problems, like, I don't know, the prices, the economy, and so on. And I think we can make them as priorities. Mm-hmm. Why don't we choose them? Why just we are emphasizing and we are putting emphasis on this, that, okay, Palestine is in danger. We all know that it is in danger, but we are in danger too in different ways.
Yeah. Are you going to answer?
No, you go ahead.
That's a good question, sister. Look, the agency of the issues are seen and are decided based on the, as we agreed earlier, based on the their agency towards our life. Yes, we have also some economic issues.
Yeah.
But in case we are going to support, and we are saying that we need to support Palestine and the oppressed nation of Palestine, it doesn't actually conflict with the urgent issues that we have inside the country. Look, among the urgent issues that we have in our country is economy, is, political issues, as again, agricultural issues. Again, one of other issues that it's of high importance for us is our security. But it is very important that when we ourselves actually are claiming to support the Palestinians, and we even ask other countries to support Palestinians, it's not going to be any reduction from the other sources. Only, I mean, the kind of budget, at least in our country, is like this. Yeah. The kind of budget which is going to be dedicated to the defense budget, or is known as the defense budget, is going to for supporting the Palestinians. But for other countries, for those countries that they are Muslims, but the country itself or the management or the team or the, let's say, statesmen are not Muslims. Yeah. So we are at least expecting them to show their hatred towards the oppression of these Muslims, yeah, in case they are not able to support like ours. But we believe other Muslim countries, there is no need for them to take from their own people and to add it and or to put it there. Even though in Islamic teachings, when we are going to support and help a person in need, geography is not going to work. I mean, we are helping a person in need, first, a person, not a Muslim.
Yeah.
Second, a Muslim in need, without looking at the geographical borders, right? I'm not to ask you that if you're living in this geography or the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, although we are able to, for example, reduce amount from the other sources of ours, but at least in our country, it's like this. The only budget that goes towards this country is from the defense budget.
Even further than that, we can say the question that you asked is about, it's like asking, why do we make mosques when we have a lot of poor people that exist in the society?
Yeah.
Why do we build schools when the people don't even have food? So everything has its own priority, its own level. So having economic issues, if economic difficulties, does not necessarily mean that we forget about defense. Having security issues does not necessarily mean that we forget about economy and just focus on this. No, every single thing has its own level of priority. And every single matter, every single issue must be dealt with on its own level. So the level of Palestine when it comes to foreign security, when it comes to defending outside the border of this country, then definitely there must be a budget for this. Likewise, there should be a budget for, you know, looking after the schools, looking after the economy of the country. So nothing is subtracted from any area, everything in its own level and priority.
More interesting is that when we even scrutinize the other problems that we have, like, let's say, economic issues, the problems that we have, if we work on the roots of these issues, it refers to this cancerous complex which is in this region. Why? Because the whole West has actually besieged its own powers just to support this area,
yeah,
to this country, and this what they had actually devised and what they made it there. So we see even all these problems that are available in Islam countries are due to this existence. Look, if you see insecurity in Lebanon, in Yemen, in other countries, is because due to the force that America puts on, for example, some proxies in the region to make the region in a state of turmoil. Then it is quite clear among the politicians that they say that if you want Israel to be secure, you have to make the other countries insecure.
Yeah.
You see? So the insecurity of other Islamic countries works for the security of the... So how can you make a country insecure? To work on its economy, to work on its, let's say, political issues, its, let's say, different agriculture and in different areas of energy that they are in need of.
In this level, we can say that, concluding the words of Mr. Ali, is that by removing Israel from its existence, you know, by annihilating it, we solve so many problems, including the economic problems that we have in our country.
Yeah. So let me ask another question, which is on mine, really. And I want you to answer that if, you know, for example, it wasn't Palestine, it was about some oppression in other regions like China, like other places that we, you know, that we have some Muslim people. Why don't we make them as priorities? If it is about an act of humanity, so it is the same about other places, other geographical parts of the world. Mm-hmm. So why these parts of the world is so important? Why this region?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me say that wherever we see oppression, we're against it. We were against apartheid, even though they were not Muslims, but we were against this discrimination, this racial discrimination. We are against fascism. We are against white supremacism. Any form of discrimination and racism, we're against it. We're against the rulers who have usurped Kashmir. We're against the rulers who are dictating Bahrain. But when it comes to priority, we have to see that Muslims, how are they targeted, right? Mm-hmm. In Palestine, like we mentioned in the beginning of the discussion, in Palestine, there is a reason why they brought this Zionist movement in that specific area, in the heart of Islam, right?
Yeah.
Where civilization initially emerged, according to the historians. right? There is a reason why it's there. And when you see, like we mentioned just, you know, a few seconds ago, when we see insecurities in other places, including in the region, including our own country, yeah, it's because of Israel. When we remove this cancer, like we mentioned in the beginning, then many other places will be secured. There will be, when the victory of Islam prevails in Palestine, you will not find, or at least you will find less people, less wise countries or wise systems that will attack Islam, because they know that Muslims have a good connection between each other. They know that if they were to attack the Muslims, they're going to be faced with a big wave of Muslims coming against them.
Thank you. Let me add another dimension to the explanations, yeah, of Brother Muhammad. Yes, there are some other Muslims who are under oppression in Chechnya or even in China. Yes, that's true. We believe we have to actually, we should not, I mean, differentiate between the Muslims if they are living in different areas of the world. And we did so, exactly. Yeah. I mean, at the time of the presidency of Mr. Khatami, he showed his objection towards the behavior of the Russia with the Chechenian Muslims. The same time, I mean, different governments actually show their disagreement, show their objection to even China at the same way that they are actually treating the Muslims there, like the sermon that was held by Ayatollah Hashemi Rafsanjani, the late Ayatollah Hashemi Rafsanjani, yeah, that he directly actually warned Chinese government to treat Muslims in the right way. So we see that we have exactly our bright and quite vivid stances in front of these issues. But you might say, okay, there are weaker with regard to what we see in the issue of Palestine. That's true. Do you know what the reason is? The reason is that in the issue of Palestine, we see a sort of, let's say, oppression, a sort of, let's say, taking the lands of a people, mm-hmm, and making a new country for yourself.
Okay.
But in the other countries, we based on the international laws, we are not going to interfere in the affairs, into the internal affairs of different countries, like in China or like what happened in Russia. So we can warn them, we can show our disagreement and objection towards them, but it's not, I think it's not the case to do the same for what we are doing in Palestine. So we see a group of people were removed from their own land,
yeah,
but we are not seeing the same thing in Russia or in China, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is true.
Yeah. So thank you for all of your explanations. If I want to refer to one of the statements of leadership, I can tell that Palestine is considered as one of the main inspiration for other Islamic uprisings in the world. And thank you for your presence here, Brother Ali and Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear listeners, for listening to us in this episode. It was all the time we had for today's episode. And we're going to discuss this issue more in other episodes. So I bid you farewell, and I leave you in the warm embrace of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
mother nor father to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart. I never have any doubt the Palestine tomorrow will be free. Palestine tomorrow will be free.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human rights from the Quran, and we're doing that by looking at verses that promotes human rights. In one of the verses in the Quran, chapter 25, verse 63, Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The servants of Allah are the ones who walk on earth with humbleness, and when the ignorant speak to them, they say, peace, or words of peace. That's a verse we've looked at before, and we said it's a trait that everyone needs to have. How can one promote the idea of peace or peaceful coexistence with other people? Promoting the idea of peaceful coexistence obviously requires effort from everybody. And there are several ways that I and you can contribute to creating a more peaceful and tolerant society. Keep in mind that we are going by the ayah itself. So this is not a separate topic. Rather, it is the ayah itself. So the ayah says you need to promote peace. So we're asking the question, how do we promote peace? Now, obviously, I can't dive into the psychology of it and how, you know, one can change his mind and, you know, rewire and reformat his brain to be, you know, peaceful. But at least we can say a few things in this regard. To promote the idea of peaceful coexistence, we need to at least practice kindness and compassion. Why? Because being kind and compassionate towards others, regardless of their background or beliefs, can help build bridges and promote mutual understanding between people, between me and you. Sometimes all it takes for me and you to connect is an act of kindness, an act of compassion, whether you initiate it or I initiate it. And sometimes, to give you an example, sometimes you see a person from far and you think something is going to happen, or I don't like this person. But then all of a sudden, as the person gets closer to you, he smiles. That smile builds a bridge between you and him. Why? Because it's an act of kindness and compassion. So just one smile made a huge difference. Saying salamu alaikum, for example, giving the greetings, the Islamic greetings, it makes a big difference too. You build a bridge. So every act of kindness and compassion makes differences. So being kind and compassionate towards other people, it is a skill that I and you have to master. And obviously we start small. And the beauty of Islam, it does not specify to whom you should be nice, to whom you should be kind or compassionate. Islam says you have to be passionate and kind to everybody, not just specific people. Let me take a break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we're saying, how can we learn to promote the idea of coexistence? So we said by practicing kindness and compassion. Two, by educating ourselves and others. You see, in life, everything has to be done through knowledge and knowing things. Learning about different cultures, religions, and beliefs can help reduce ignorance and promote tolerance. Because most of the times we say bad things and negative things and accuse people of things because we're not aware of their culture, we're not aware of their religion, we're not aware of their beliefs. So it is easier for me and you to mock other people for the things that they do. Because I'm ignorant of it, therefore I speak bad of it. So Islam says you need to respect people. And that's a very powerful message in the Quran. Allah says, لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your faith, I have mine. I will not cross boundaries in this regard. I might not agree with you. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to abide by what you go by. But at least I can respect you for what you believe. Believe what you believe. This is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can come to a table of negotiation or debate or discussion, by all means, Allah says, قُلْ تَعَالُوا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٌ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ. Let's say, let's sit and talk. At least we have a common ground. So from this way, Allah says, you need to learn before you talk.